to the Lord. I just thank God because He is a faithful God. Let us pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. There is no man like you, and no one can do the things you do, O God. Lord, we return the glory to you, and we return the praise to you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because you are about to feed us afresh with your word. Lord, indeed, let your people go home, Lord, fed today in Jesus' name. Somebody came out and said he had pronouncement at the beginning of the year. Lord, and I told people on Friday that the number of days left is actually too much for you to do great things in the lives of your people, because it took you less than 24 hours for you to change the destiny of Samaria when it was under siege. Therefore, you can change the destiny of your people even within 2 minutes. It took just within a short period of time, you catapulted Joseph from being a prisoner to a prime minister. So you do in the lives of your people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for those testimonies, and I return all the glory to God. It's not by man's strength that was done, and it was not said to promote any man. It was said so that we can see that all we need to do is to be faithful to God. And I can tell you, even during this period, God has helped us to remain faithful, even in paying our tithes. So as you continue to do that, you will see what God will do in your life in Jesus' name. He will show himself faithful to you as you show yourself faithful to him in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to talk to you about spiritual generations. Did somebody hear that? Spiritual generations. Now, oftentimes when you hear of generations, you are talking about and Adam begat Cain, begat Abel, begat this, begat that. And then Abraham begat so and so, and so and so begat so and so. When we talk about generations. But I want to talk to you about a different generation that I call spiritual generations. And in every dispensation, there can be coexistence of different spiritual generations together. And all these are Bible-based. So that within the same time that people are catching an understanding of the coming of Jesus, some people didn't know he had come. And do you know that up till now, some people don't know he has come? Some people are still expecting that Jesus will come for the first time. We are expecting his coming the second time. They are expecting his coming for the first time. The Jews, who are non-Christian, they still believe that he hasn't come yet. And I'm telling you, even the Quran attests to you that Jesus has come and that he will come back again. I've told you this before. Those of us who are Muslims, I can't remember which surah and which ayat now, but I remember I read the translation, surah 42 or something like that. I can't remember. You know, you go and check very well, it's there that Jesus will come. So, be sure. And be careful which generation you belong to. Spiritual generation. Again, I said, in every dispensation, there's the coexistence of all these combination of generations. So in the next, possibly, maybe 10 weeks, we'll be looking at spiritual generations. Of course, the Bible talks about perverse generation. It talks about the generation that cursed their fathers. It talks about generation of vipers. It talks about the sign-seeking generation. It talks about the stubborn and rebellious generation. It talks about the generation of the upright and the righteous. He talks about the generation of God seekers and God praisers. And that is where you are going to belong in Jesus' name. And lastly, the Bible talks about the chosen generation. Praise God. That's where you are going to be in Jesus' name. The chosen generation. Today, I'm going to start with us, and I've shared this message before, but in a different way. I will share with us the sign-seeking generation. Because one of the things that leads a lot of people astray is their search for signs and for wonders. Am I right? I know a lot of people who have lost track because of signs and because of wonders. So we are going to talk about the sign-seeking generation. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. I'm going to read verse 38 to 42. Matthew 12, 38 to 42. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Praise the Lord. We read about it in Sunday school. When the queen came to check out what was happening in the life of Solomon. And I told you that people will come to check out what is happening in your life. And when they come, they will meet it to be so. In Jesus' name. That's why you come here. Because God will do great things in your life. Again, let's quickly open to Mark. Chapter 16. Verse 15 to 18. Mark 16, 15 to 18. He says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them. Say, follow them. Say, follow them. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise the Lord. So if you look at it, it is not really bad to have signs, is it? Because Jesus says, this sign shall follow them that believe. So signs have to follow our belief. And I say concerning you today that signs will follow your belief in Jesus' name. He said, this sign shall follow them that believe. But he didn't say, these that believe shall follow signs. Did he say so? Praise God. So it's not bad to have signs. In fact, signs in your ministry can be an indication of the fact that God is with you. But the most important thing first is that you must be a believer. You must believe. Because signs follow those that believe, not those who follow signs. There are some problems when you follow signs. What I find out is that people who follow signs, even when they see signs from God, they cannot recognize it. People who follow signs, even when God gives them a sign, they cannot recognize it for what it is. And I will back it up. In fact, the more signs God gives them, the more confusion they get into. And the Bible makes us to understand that God has given us signs. already to anchor us as we follow Jesus. We just read a song that it is enough that Jesus died, that he died for me. He said, I need no other argument and I need no other plea. In fact, if he refuses to show me a sign, I will still follow him. Even if I don't seem to see any sign, I will follow him. Because our belief is not based on signs. Our belief is based on Jesus Christ who died and rose again. Praise the Lord. Because there are many people who see signs and cannot recognize it. In Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 22, the Bible says, Romans 1, 18 to 22. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So when you know the truth and hold it in unrighteousness, despite what you know, and you keep doing the wrong thing, the Bible says the judgment of God is reserved for such people. He said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. God has already shown you what he wants to show you. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In other words, when you live your life not recognizing the glory of God in your life, not recognizing and seeing the hand of God upon your life, and you are like King Nebuchadnezzar, and you are beginning to say, my hand made this, I did that, you are on the road to perdition. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. God wants people who will acknowledge him, irrespective of where you are or who you are. And I'm telling you, it is possible for God to be doing miracles in your life. You may not even recognize it. After all, when Jesus himself was on earth, a lot of people didn't recognize him. When he was physically there, they didn't know him as Son of God. Did they? No. The more signs you see, the more you may not even believe. I have a friend who has been my friend since 1982. He normally lives in the U.S. Recently, he moved to Nigeria. We talked. You know, of course, he knows that I'm now a pastor. And he said, and we were talking. He said, you pastor. No, the sister was sick, actually. The sister was sick. Had some conditions. And he went there, pestering her to do certain things. And the sister told her, he said, God has healed me. And he was telling me, he said, can you imagine? He said, can you imagine, sister? I don't know what has come over her head. This woman she's had PhD right from when we were in the medical school. So she knew what she was doing. He said, can you imagine, sister? He said, she won't do this because she now believes that God has healed her. And I said, what is wrong with you? So we got talking, and he told me what had happened to him. That's why I said, some people can see signs, they will not know that they've seen signs. He said the pastor came to visit him in Ohio. And when the pastor was leaving, prayed for him. And the pastor told him, he said, you see, I can see you going back to Nigeria. Not because there was any problem. He just told him, he said, you will go back to Nigeria. And the guy left. A week or two later, some people came from Nigeria to do some things in the U.S. And they made him an offer he couldn't refuse. So he ended up in Nigeria now. That was about a week or two after. And you know what he told me? He said, you see, I didn't even tell that pastor, so he doesn't go around thinking that he has done miracle. Ask my wife. He said, I didn't even tell him, because he will be going around. He will think he has done a miracle now. Is that not a miracle? God can show you signs and you never know. Ask my wife. Everything I say, ask my wife, because I put it on speakerphone and he knew. And we were talking. We've been friends since 1982, so he could open his mind to me. He said, the pastor will be boasting now. He will think he has done a miracle. When the guy told you that you go back to Nigeria and somebody came, made you an offer, you couldn't refuse, and you moved your things and you went to Nigeria, and you're still saying there's no miracle there. When Jesus was doing miracles, there were people who were still disputing it right there and then. The Lord will visit you in Jesus' name. Jesus was in Nazareth. And the Bible said he couldn't do much. Why? Because they were the people who recognized him as the son of the carpenter. And as long as their faith was stunted, their miracle was stunted. Until there's a release of faith that you go beyond the individual and see God in your situation, things may not happen. The Lord will touch you today in Jesus' name. Jesus in Mark chapter 3, you know I like saying that. I like referring to Mark chapter 3. Do you know when he first started his ministry, some people actually went to him and said he's mad. Oh, they went and called his mom, his brothers, and his family and said, we better go and grab him. That guy is gone. He's gone mad. People will misunderstand you when you choose to walk in this way. And I've been saying it and I keep saying it. If you don't want to be different, then you cannot enjoy the blessings of God. Do you hear that? Because when the blessings of God come upon your life, you are going to be automatically different. He will set you apart. We pray that prayer this morning. He will set you apart. You may look weird. You may even sound like you don't know what you are doing. You have to believe. And I told you, the operation, you see, when you are going to live a life, a spiritual life, your life will have to be different. And the other thing that sort of even shook me further was this. That I couldn't believe that Bishop Oyedepo could be paying tithe to another church because he recognized somebody. He always called him, you know, Pastor Adeboye. Every time, if you listen to his message, you say, my father in the Lord, my father in the Lord, my father. There are some people he calls his father in the Lord. Kenneth Higgins, Adeboye. That he could be paying tithe to him. And I said, eh? You see, when God is blessing somebody, go and find out how they did it. You cannot live, you know, the ordinary, using the knowledge of man, and you want to get godly things. It will never happen. I'm telling you, it will never happen. Until you let people call you mad. Let people. I told you when Reggie was leaving Nigeria. When Reggie was leaving for Nigeria, I knelt down. And he prayed for me. And somebody came to me and said, John, are you mad? Why? Because I'm a doctor. I'm a specialist. He's not a doctor. He's not a specialist. And I knelt for him. I thought something's gone wrong with my head. But godly things are not done the ordinary way. If you are going to get the blessings of God will be upon your life in Jesus' name. So you have to be in a believing position to receive of the things of God. How many of you, most of you, you know I love being a pastor. Don't you? I love it. I relish it. You know why? Because it brings some dividends. It gives you some goody goodies. Praise the Lord. How many of us want to be pastors? Eh? How many want to be pastors here? How many of us? It brings some goody-goody. Because when you are a pastor, let me tell you some of the things that you enjoy. When somebody's child cries very well, they say that pastor is not praying very well. If you pray, my child will not cry. If a wife beats up the husband, eh? They will say it's because the pastor is not praying. If somebody is waiting for his promotion, I've had people say, they say, since I've been going to that church, I've not been promoted in my place of work. They say it's because the pastor is not praying. And I'm telling you something.
It may be that God actually wants to teach them patience. So they say, there are some work of faith that you have to do for yourself. If somebody steals, it must be your fault. You must be the one. You have to be the servant of all. You can be seen, not heard. It's a very wonderful job. Praise the Lord. God will promote you in Jesus' name. I say God will promote you in Jesus' name. If you are a sign seeker, you will never be a good discerner. You know, talking about discerning things that are of the Spirit, you will never be able to discern. Because you will always operate at the level of what you can see. So anything you cannot see will not matter to you. And I'm telling you that the Spirit can be pregnant for several years before it gives birth. Praise God. For Abraham, the Spirit was pregnant for how many years? How many years? 25 years. The Spirit was pregnant for 25 years before it delivered for Abraham. The Spirit will deliver for you in Jesus' name. Because if you are not discerning, if you are the type who seeks signs, you will take counsel from the wrong people. You will appoint the wrong judge. You will pattern your life after the wrong person. Because that person seems to prosper in what he's doing, it does not mean that he's doing the right thing. I keep telling people, we need to know that. That's why we have to be different. I told the men, and I told those who are here on Friday, I said, people who pattern their lives after the spirit, after spiritual things, they have, like the eagle, they have long-term views. When you see people who have short-term views, they cannot be directed by the Spirit of God. Open to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. If you are the type who seeks signs, you will always want quick fix. In other words, if there's nothing to show immediately, you will give up. Hebrews 11:13, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country built by God. Now, let me tell you something. Abraham and the other, the promises that God gave them, I keep repeating it, was not even fulfilled. Some of them were not fulfilled during their lifetime. We have to get to that point. Do you know that some Christians cannot be of benefit to anyone except that they know that they will get something from it? Some people cannot even be of benefit to God except that they know there is going to be a payback. If there's not going to be a payback, then they will not do. You don't have long-term view. When you have long-term view, you are waiting for God. You know that God will perfect that which concerns you. People who seek signs can easily fall away because to them, once there is no sign, that is their own sign. You know, they have made up their mind what they expect. If it doesn't work out that way, they stop believing. In other words, seeing is believing. There's this very important story, a very interesting story in John chapter 6, verse 22 to 27. Just after Jesus had fed the multitude, he went and the people thronged there. And when they came to him, do you know what Jesus said to them? He said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles. He said, but because of the bread. What is the difference between the bread and the miracle? What was Jesus saying there? He said, you seek me not because of the miracles, but because of the bread. In other words, you are seeking me not because you acknowledge that this is the power of God in my life. The only reason you are seeking is because I'm feeding you for the immediate. You cannot see the glory of God that is behind the miracle. Praise God. And I will prove it to you down the track. I'm not going to read, but John 6, 22 to 27. He said, you seek me not because of the miracle, but because of the bread. After he fed 5,000, we are going to seek God for who God is in Jesus' name. In other words, they did not acknowledge the lordship of Jesus. And I keep telling you, if you acknowledge the lordship of Jesus, you come in total surrender to him. They sought self-gratification. When the pastor says there will be peace, and the enemy tests you a little, do you give up? Do you give up? One of the things that I've learned is not to respond to pressure, particularly in the things of God. I've learned that long ago. In other words, if this one demands of me, that one demands of me, that one demands of me, if I'm going to do what everyone wants, there will be no church. Do you understand? Everybody will just do what they want. It's not done that way. So that wherever we find ourselves as children of the living God, we are taking a stand. Praise the Lord. Sign seekers cannot watch and pray. If you are the type who seeks signs, you cannot watch and pray. That is why a lot of us cannot pray. The only thing we can do is to go to someone else to pray for us. But as for us to watch and pray, we will not be able to. And in fact, not only do we go to people to pray for us, we select the people who will pray for us. That pastor is not in that class. And I'm telling you, the miracle of your life may be with him that day. Praise the Lord. What it takes, let me tell you, that same word that means nothing to you is changing someone else's life. Once it is mixed with faith in you, that same word that you are hearing that makes nothing to you is changing somebody's destiny. The word you are hearing today will change your destiny for good in Jesus' name. The Bible says when we see, then it's no longer of faith. It is when we are able to hold on and believe God in the absence of physical evidence. That is faith. Sign seekers cannot trust God. They are moved by sight. They can't trust God. Now let me tell you something. I've seen people who come to Western country like this, and the circumstance of their husband change. Wives, the circumstance of their husband change, and they will look at the husband. They wake up in the morning. After all, when we were in Africa and you were earning so much money, you used to be very rude to me. Now, you know, I'm serious. These are things that are happening. They are not believers in the first place. Or you are a man, God has blessed you. Instead of staying faithful to your family, to your wife, it is then you decide that when you close from work, instead of coming home, you go to the other place. Because God has blessed you. You have not believed in the first place. That's the truth. It's a sign that you never believed in the first place. If you have believed, it will not change you when God blesses you. How do I know? Because the Bible says the blessings of God, they do what? They make it rich and add no sorrow. That blessing that comes to your life that make you want to break your home, you are in trouble. Or because you have come to the Western world. Do you know? I've said it before. God made your husband the head not because he's more educated than you, not because he's wiser than you. He simply made him the head. Praise God. And then you come. You know? Do you know some wives, when they speak, the husband will have to be like this. I'm serious. Oh, you think I'm joking? I'm talking about life. You know how many? Do you know how many emails I got? Distress call I got? When wife speaks, the husband has to be like this. If you are a godly woman, you will control yourself. You will sanction yourself. You don't need anyone to tell you. If you are a godly man, you will keep yourself in check. Because we cannot hold righteousness in unrighteousness. It's not possible. Did somebody hear that? We cannot hold righteousness in what? In unrighteousness. So when the sign comes, we fasted together, we prayed together, we got overseas. Trouble starts. And the Bible warned. It said, when you get to their land, you must not live like them. You will not behave like them. If you are going to copy people here because your husband is about to pay off your mortgage and you think if you divorce, they will give you 50%, you will take that money with a curse. Why? Because you are breaking the covenant. Praise the Lord. You know I have passion for families, don't you? Oh yeah, I do. You take it with a curse. They try to settle. No, they won't settle because they put their mind on what they want. If you are a child of God, you stay true to God. Praise the Lord. Somebody is enjoying this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Trusting God means staying true even when you are not sure of where you are going. When Abraham was called out, he didn't know where he was going, did he? But he went all the same. I keep telling people, you may not even know this. Don't think that this is the first African church in this land. Okay? This is not the first one. The first one was started sometimes around in the 90s. In the 90s. You won't know the people. Some of them from Chad and some Nigerians. You know what broke them up? When they applied to government for grants. And I think government thought they would settle people, maybe African who came, and they started giving them grant. They fought over money and the church. So when we started, they came to us, they say, it can't work here, and told us what caused problem between them. I was deaf to those kind of things. I don't listen. So but when people are giving you ungodly counsel, will you listen to them? To them, the voice of the people is the voice of God. And the Bible says, even though hands join with hands, it said the wicked shall not go unpunished. Proverbs 11:21. So, irrespective of whether there are multitude or not, as a Christian, we have to take a stand. Sign seekers are not reliable people. If you commit a vision to their hands, they will abandon it when it starts to be difficult because they cannot see any sign. Just like they cannot trust God, they are not trustworthy because they change their mind based on circumstances. I told people, in fact, in my practice, I tell people I see. I tell them about goal setting. When you set goals, do you keep changing your mind because things change? No. You have to keep pursuing your dream. When you follow God, you keep following Him, not because things are changing, but because God remains true. Because He says, I am God, I change not. Praise the Lord. That's why God says, look, in order to commit the treasures of heaven to your hand, you must show yourself trustworthy. And if you look for signs, you cannot be trustworthy. One person like that is the guy you can find in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20 to 27. Gehazi. He was always looking for profit. Elisha had a double portion of the anointing of Elijah. Gehazi was set to inherit. Just imagine if he waited and inherited a double portion of Elisha's anointing. But he could not wait. He just wanted to grab it. That was why he went to Naaman. I've told you before. Because he was looking for signs. Immediate. Recently, an organization came to me and they said, "We want you to come and join us." They said, "You see, we want you to join us because it's so important that you are there. We said it's because you are not there that things have not gone well. We want you there." I told them, I said, "You know what? I said, God is still training me in the wilderness. When he finishes with me, he can release me to the public. For now, he is asking me to hide. He's asking me to do what I'm doing in the back door. I've not even done the assignment he's giving me very well yet. It's not about public recognition. It's about staying faithful to God. And he will stay faithful to you in Jesus' name." If you seek signs, let me give you an example of people who sought signs and lost their place in the kingdom. In Acts chapter 1 verse 17, I've shared that with you before. Judas, the Bible said he had a portion of the ministry of Jesus. I've told you before, but he lost it. If you seek signs, you can easily be deceived. Because the Bible says, "For the angel of darkness sometimes presents itself as if it's the angel of light." You remember what I shared with you about the first wine when Jesus went to Canaan and did the miracle of wine. He turned water into wine. And the people who are drinking it, they said, most people, when they come, they serve the best wine first, and then when everyone is drunk, they sign the bad one. How come you are signing the better one later? And I told you the interpretation of that. Because a lot of women sought signs, they marry people who they should not have married. Because the guy will dress well, he will appear, you know. Somebody said something that I found really interesting. He said, "If you lie to a woman to marry her, will you lie to feed her?" Lie will not bring you money to feed. Praise God. Angel of darkness can manifest as an angel of light, even with signs. After all, when Moses got to Pharaoh, Pharaoh brought his own magicians. And did they do signs? They did signs. That is why we have to start from the point of believing. If you don't believe something, you will fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Jesus said, "I have no sign that I will show you." But the sign of what? But the sign of Jonah. What is the sign of Jonah? Of course, the sign of Jonah means death. The sign of Jonah means what? Death. Open with me to Romans chapter 7 verse 14. I've shared this with people in the other house fellowship. Romans 7 verse 1 to 4. The sign of Jonah means death. Romans 7 1 to 4. He said, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which had an husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man." Listen to verse 4. "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ." In other words, The sign of Jonah means you have to die. The self has to die so that you are no longer under the law of sin and death. And then signs can follow you until we are dead, because you see, before you know Christ, you were married to who? Who were you married to? Eh? Who were you married to? Before you became born again, who were you married to? Eh? Who? To the devil. We were all married to him. Because the Bible says Jesus is what? He's the bridegroom. He's coming for his bride. So we were all the brides of the devil. If there is going to be a position, because there was a marriage between us and the devil, in order to annul that marriage, one has to die, because there is no divorce. Praise God. The only account, the only reason why there can be a divorce is when one of the partner is dead. When the other partner is dead, then the other partner can then marry. I've told you before, you may not like your husband, but you can't kill him. Praise God. You may not like your wife, but you can't kill him. Praise the Lord. But the only condition for divorce is what? It's death. And the Bible is saying, so if we are going to be translated to the kingdom of light, we need to die first. And after we're dead, we annul that marriage between us and the devil. And then we can be betrothed to another man. Praise God. When Jesus comes, he will take you home in Jesus' name. How do you know you are dead? Somebody gave an illustration how you will know you are dead. It was a beautiful illustration. This person is not even a doctor. But when he said it, it made sense to me. Those of you who are doctors in the house, when you want to operate on a patient, and the anesthetist has put the patient to sleep, what do you do? Eh? What do you do? You call Mr. Badmus. Mr. Badmus. He won't answer. Sometimes you even pinch. You know? You pinch his eyes. Mr. Badmus. Pinch his skin. Mr. Badmus. If there's no flinching, if there's no movement, you know that he's well. He's asleep. He's gone. Praise the Lord. And the person said, the way you will know that you are gone, you are dead, is this. He said the way that God tests us to know if we have been well anesthetized is that somebody who is younger than you will abuse you. If you bring your boxing glove and you punch them, then you are not dead yet. Praise the Lord. Am I right? Is that not a good one? Somebody who you think you have been good to will malign you. And you come, you say, let's go to their house. They will know me today. Because then you are not dead yet. Praise the Lord. Just like the anesthetist will pinch you, and if you are really asleep, you'll be anesthetized, you keep quiet. If God is working your life, he said you'll be able to stomach it. Praise God. The sign of Jonah means life. It means life in Jesus Christ. Because you've been dead in the other life, you are rising to another life in Jesus' name. I say you are rising into another life in Jesus' name. It means death in the life of darkness and rising in the life of light. Because the same power that raised Jesus can quicken your mortal body so that you become a new man and become a new creature. We close by reading Colossians chapter 3, 8 to 14. If that's all I will do. Colossians 3, 8 to 14. I don't know if I'm the only one who is feeling hot in the house. I think we probably would need, because it's not at the height of summer yet. It looks like we probably would need another air conditioner. Am I right? It's really not holding it at all. Colossians 3, 8 to 14. Hear what it says. He said, but now ye also put off all this: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Feel the communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Lie not one to another. It's not wisdom. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, you've been dead.
Now you've been raised up to another life. He said, take off those old behavior. They are no longer part of you because you have risen to another life, you know. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created it. Praise the Lord. So you are a renewed person. All things have gone away. All things have become new. You are regenerated. You are recreated. You are a different person. That's why I told you that pastor, when his friend said, this thing you do, me too, I can be like, he said, no, you can't. You can't. He quickly said, no, you can't. You cannot. Because God has not given you that grace. You cannot. Something has to happen. Remember we said, an eagle is not created. An eagle is what? Is born an eagle. Except there is a regeneration and a recreation by the Almighty God. You cannot be an eagle. You will always be a chicken. But when it comes into your life, like we have just heard, there's something different that needs to be taking place in your life. And that is why your rod will board. When you place it with the rods of other people, it's going to board in Jesus' name. God will just simply separate you. That is what it means to be new life. It's about believing. It's about seeing God work in your situation. And you will see what God will do with you. You become an instrument in his hand for him to do exploit. Can we just rise on our feet? Why don't you just pray to God and say, Father, I've heard your word. Lord, make of me an instrument in your hand in Jesus' name. Wherever you ask me to go, I will go. Whenever you ask me to come, I will come. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. Irrespective of what is around me, what I can see, what I cannot see yet, my Lord and my God, make of me an instrument in your hand, O God. Make of me an instrument in your hand, O God. Make of me an instrument in your hand, O God. Make of me an instrument in your hand, O God. Thank you, Daddy. Just use me, O God. Glorify yourself in my life. Glorify yourself in my life. To the point that people will think I'm crazy or foolish. But you are my wisdom. You are my wisdom. You are my breakthrough. You are my answer. In the mighty name of Jesus, see me through, O God. I want to stay faithful to you. I want to stand for you all the days of my life. Never to be discouraged. Never to run away. Never to call it quit. I will stand for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I believe your word has brought life into the lives of your people. There's a recreation and there's a regeneration. My Father, my God, everyone that has heard me today, O God, Lord, the anesthesia of heaven is applied. Lord, they are yielding to you completely in Jesus' name. Therefore, Lord, you will make their life a miracle, O God. Living becomes worthwhile for them in Jesus' name. There is hope created in their lives in Jesus' name. There is a breakthrough around the corner in the mighty name of Jesus. We are not moved by what we see, nor by what we hear. Lord, we are moved by your knowledge and your wisdom. We are moved by your revelation, O God. Therefore, O God, you are taking somebody to a higher level in Jesus' name. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' glorious name, we have prayed.